Welcome to the Evo India podcast. It's our first podcast of 2024. And like I promised, we're going to give you more podcasts in 2024. I've got Sirish with me in the studio today. My name is Atish Mishra. And we're going to be talking about the cars we expect to be launched in India in 2024.
Yep. Some cars would probably not be on our list. Some cars on the list would probably not make it to India in 2024. But I think these are the most important cars and stuff that you should look forward to. Yep. And we'll start with our perennial favorite, right?
Is the Volkswagen Polo coming back to India in 2024?
No chance.
No.
And there's no point. Hatchbacks is a segment that is not growing as fast as SUVs.
Yes.
Everybody wants an SUV. So the Tiguan is there. The Kushaq is there if you don't want something that looks like a Tiguan. So those are great SUVs.
And all the million today. Special editions.
Yeah. So this year, you will have special editions.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything new coming from Volkswagen this year. Apart from the Tiguan, which we will talk about. But in terms of mass market vehicles, it is the Virtus and the Tiguan. And same with Skoda. Yeah. It's the Slavia and the Kushaq.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the cars that are going to be there. What you can actually look forward to are good discounts on that.
Yeah.
Because obviously they'll have to push it more aggressively. You'll probably get more loaded variants. You've just driven the Virtus GT with the manual gearbox.
Yes.
And I was reading a story, and not only does it have a manual gearbox, but it also has some more masala in terms of more speakers and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So what's new on that?
You get a subwoofer and an amplifier, which was not there on the Virtus before. And you get electrical powered seats for driver and passenger, which is actually a segment first because most cars have it driver only, but Volkswagen's done driver passenger.
So you'll probably get cars with more features on them.
Yeah.
That is more loaded at a more attractive price. So that is definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah,
but you're not going to get a new Polo. So forget about it. No Polo coming for the foreseeable future.
Okay, let's talk about stuff that is coming. And exciting stuff. Tata Curvv. We expect the Curvv to launch in India this year. It was shown at Auto Expo last year.
Yep.
And now we're getting closer to seeing it on the roads. We've seen test vehicles, actually. We've seen
pictures. So plenty of test vehicles on the road. And the good thing about Martin Olaryk's design school of thought, and this is something that he told us at the Auto Expo, is that he has told his designers not to make concept cars. He's told them to make concept cars that will actually go into production as is. So what we saw at the Auto Expo, maybe with one size smaller wheels, that is what's going to make it to production.
And to be fair, we didn't expect it, but when the Nexon came out, it actually had what the Curvv is.
Exactly.
Face, you know?
Exactly. So right-sized wheels, and that's about it. So you will get the Curvv with that coupe SUV roofline, which would be very unique for its category, because in this category there are no coupe SUVs. So a little bit fashion forward in terms of its design, but I think it's also very distinctive. And we sat in the concepts that were there at the Auto Expo, and it didn't really compromise on headroom. So looks cool. It'll have the new engine.
Yeah.
That is also something that was shown at the Auto Expo. Yeah.
And I think this is a misconception that needs to be addressed around the Curvv. Everybody thinks that the EV is going to come first. It's the petrol and diesel Curvv that will probably come first with, like Sirish said, the new turbo petrol engine.
Yes, the new turbo petrol engine. That is what's going to launch with the Curvv.
Yeah.
The EV will be there. There will be a Curvv EV, but I think that'll follow in time.
Either at the same time or a little bit later. Now, Tata's gotten into the habit of doing things parallelly.
Yeah.
Like they did Harrier Safari together. They did Nexon and Nexon EV back to back.
The thing is that in 24, Tata EV, Tata dot EV as the new company is called, that will have new launches. So it's going to start with the Punch EV.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of them testing on the road.
Yeah.
So Punch EV definitely is coming, and that will sit in a really sweet spot under the Nexon EV, slightly above the Tiago EV. So it'll plug that gap where right now we just have the EC3.
Correct.
Is there anything else out there? I don't think so, right?
Moment.
So Tata will start with the Tiago EV, which goes up against the Comet EV. In fact, the Tiago EV undercuts the Comet. Then you'll have the Punch EV. Then you'll have the Nexon EV. Then the Nexon EV Max. So it's actually filling in all the gaps in the EV segment before anybody else really jumps in.
Yeah.
We will also have the Mahindra XUV 400 facelift.
Yes.
That will start very, very soon. It'll have
early January.
Interior. Yeah. Early January, new interior. So it will be upgraded. But Tata will have a comprehensive range of EVs, and they will need that because now they have their standalone EV showrooms.
Yes, so very good looking ones, I must
very
say.
Very nice, yeah. Very aesthetically done. It has that.
Martin probably had his sketch pens out for that also.
Yeah, and it's got that whole eco theme to it, yes. The minimalist theme to it.
A lot of earthiness, woody textures, green.
And a nice coffee bar.
Yeah, Blue Tokai, who doesn't love that?
Yeah, so nice coffee also over there. So I think that's a really nice step from Tata to establish and reinforce their leadership in the EV space before everybody else comes in.
Yeah.
And everybody is going to jump into the 100%.
Fray. Question, is the Altroz EV going to come?
I think it will.
Because we saw the concept at the previous Auto Expo, not even last year's.
So we've got the Indica Gone But Not Forgotten that is going to eventually drop on the Evo India channel. And in that, while I was doing research in the old Overdrive magazines, I came across a news article in 2008. And the first line of that, and this is 2008, there's a picture of a Tata Indica with an EV powertrain. And it says that Tata is going to launch the Indica EV.
Yeah.
This is 2008. So they show things way, way in advance.
Yeah.
And then depending on priorities, engineering resources, market acceptability, things are rolled out. So hopefully we should see the Altroz EV this year. But
I think like you said, hatchbacks are a dying segment.
Exactly. So when you compare it with, say, the Punch EV or even the Nexon EV, what real incentive is there to buy an Altroz EV?
It'll sit in a similar price bracket. It'll just be a different body
shape.
So
you'll probably be eating away market share from Tata's own vehicles. Obviously, you will cater to people who want a hatchback.
Yeah.
They don't want an SUV. But I don't see why anybody would not want a Punch EV or a Nexon EV, because those are, in their ICE versions, they are very nice. In their EV versions, of course, we haven't driven a Punch EV, but the Nexon EV, we've driven it extensively all over the country.
And the new one.
And the new one also. Yeah. So I don't see where exactly the Altroz EV will fit in. Obviously, like I said, hatchback buyers are still there. But I don't know.
It's also priced because the Altroz is already expensive.
Yes. You know? And then because that is the new platform.
Correct.
Now, again,
it's
while
a punch
we were
platform.
Doing... It's the new platform.
Yeah.
It's Tata's new platform.
Yeah.
And the Nexon EV actually sits on the old platform,
correct,
which is the X1 platform, which dates back to the second generation Indica.
Yeah.
So the Altroz platform
so the
is actually
EV,
a more advanced platform.
So the Nexon EV is actually that electric Indica that you're talking
it's
about.
It's the modern day electric Indica. It is true.
Yeah.
That, so we know all this, right? But then when you actually go through all the old magazines and everything, and then when you read
the
and
dots.
Then yeah, and then you say, oh yeah, that's where it started. That's where the Nexon EV journey, it started off with the Indica EV. And the Tiago EV, the Tiago platform is the Gen 1 Indica platform. Obviously refined and made more modern to meet modern emission, crash, all those standards. But it traces its roots to Gen 1 Indica. And Nexon traces its roots to Gen 2 Indica, the Vista.
Yeah.
So these platforms go back a really long way. And that's also how Tata Motors manages it to price it aggressively. Yeah. Because everything is depreciated.
Correct.
Yeah, so you get that cost efficiency.
Okay, now let's talk about the absolute opposite end of the spectrum. From Mahindra, the five-door Thar. Now, this obviously needs no introduction. We've seen spy cars being spy
all
shots for years now.
All over.
And we've known the names now. There's a bunch
we don't know the names, but five names were patented or trademarked by
But we know
Mahindra.
Which one they're probably going to go ahead
See,
with.
See, if you asked me, I'd say it's a no-brainer, Thar Armada.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about
and
it. I don't think you've ever sat in an Armada.
I have actually.
You have, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Funnily enough, in my second week of work, you deputed me to the off-road expo in Goa, remember? And one of the Goa off-roaders had an Armada and I was driving around in his Armada for a while.
Okay, so that's a rare thing. But I don't think millennials have any connection with the Armada name.
Yeah.
But for my generation, and the Armada was on its way out even before I got into automotive journalism, I've been doing this for 24 years now. Yeah. And I got into it at the same time as the Bolero. So that was a replacement to the Grand Armada.
Correct.
But I remember when the Armada came out, because that was the first big change on the Jeep platform that Mahindra were making, the MM540. And the Armada was so cool. I think
it
DC
was.
Redesigned that.
They had used,
I think so. Either the Grand Armada or the Armada was done by DC. Even Manvendra Singh had his hand in redesigning some Mahindras. It's all there in Adil's book,
Timeless
Mahindra.
This is all way before my time, so I don't remember it. But I remember it being a very cool looking thing.
It was very cool.
Like, it was very, like, even when I saw it, whatever, 8 years ago it was, I thought it was cooler than Boleros. Because it had that proportional... The proportions were... I don't know, something about it.
So, it if you look at the Jeep lineage, there was one version, I forget the model codes right now, which had those rectangular headlamps.
Yeah.
So, this is sort of a homage to those old
the
Jeeps.
Wagoneers, maybe?
Not the Wagoneers. It was one generation of the Wrangler. Damn, I can't...
Okay.
You should get me coffee for these podcasts, man. But we'll put it in the supers if you're watching this on YouTube. But it actually has some roots over there.
But round headlamps on the 5-door Thar.
You know, the interesting part is that the Thar, the 5-door Thar, the Thar Armada, which we think it's going to be called.
I think the marketing guys also, they realize what we want, what the market wants, where the nostalgia in that name is. And I think they're going to pull the trigger on Armada.
Okay, so what I was getting at is that will be the first Mahindra designed completely under the leadership, the styling leadership of Pratap Bose.
Yeah.
He's also done the EVs, but the EVs will come later on.
Yeah.
So this will be the first. The Scorpio N wasn't done under his styling leadership. He made a few changes here and there, but it was already ready before he joined.
Correct.
So this will be his car.
Yeah.
Let's see what he does.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And let's see if he can remove any possibility of patent violations and lawsuits and get the 5-door Thar all over the world.
Yeah.
All the markets that Mahindra is exporting the Thar, their other vehicles too, they don't export the Thar.
Yeah.
We've just done the global issue of Engage 4x4. You should check that out.
The cover is very cool. We're going to put it up right now on the screen for you to see. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever, you should go check out Engage 4x4.
So that issue talks about the markets that Mahindra exports to.
Yeah.
Mahindra does not export the Thar. Australia, South Africa, South America, all of them are clamoring for the Thar because all those journalists have come to India.
Yes.
Very recently, Australian and journalists from New Zealand were at the MSPT in Chennai driving the entire range of Mahindra vehicles. They all love the Thar. I was speaking to Matthew Hayden. Matthew Hayden, the cricketing legend, part of the Australian World Cup winning team. So I took him for a drive around the World Cup time. And he said that the Thar is excellent and the Thar should come to Australia, obviously because of the way it looks and that striking similarity to the Wrangler. That's why it's not being exported. But if Pratap Bose can address that while still making it identifiably a Thar, that should be killer. That should go like sell like wildfire in export markets. And obviously in India, there's so many people waiting for it. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm
excited.
What do
you expect price to be?
It has to be under the Scorpio.
Yeah.
Now, quietly and consistently, Mahindra have been moving the Scorpio N prices up.
Yeah.
They did that with the XUV 700. They're doing it with the Scorpio N. Mm-hmm. And that is to
make that
open
gap.
Up that gap between the 3-door Thar and the Scorpio N to squeeze in the 5-door Thar. To me, the 5-door Thar will have everything that you have on the Scorpio N, with far cooler styling and of course the practicality of 5 doors. So yeah, there is that whole section of purists that want only a 3-door Thar. But come on, man, end of the day.
There are the inevitable comparisons to the Jimny because that's also a 5-door. But it
I
will
think
sit
a Jimny will sit inside a Thar. But it's a completely different vehicle. Of course, both are 4x4s, both are ladder frame 4x4s. So in terms of the packaging, they are very similar. But if you just look at the size, you look at the positioning of the two, I think there is a good enough gap between the two. Also, pricing, there will be a significant gap. Mm. So it's not like every Jimny owner will be able to up to a 5-door Thar. because the gap will be at least 3-4 lakhs, if not more. So there will be a significant price gap. I think it'll do the Jimny good because it'll create even more excitement in this segment. Mm-hmm. And the more players that are there in a certain segment, there'll be more buyers, there'll be more interest, there'll be more hangama all over the place. There'll be more stories that we journalists will be doing. So it's always good. More action, the merrier.
And speaking of more action, there's a 5-door Gurkha coming also, which has been...
Threatening to come for a while now.
Yeah. We got spy shots as well.
A long time back,
we
said last Diwali will come, then the Diwali before that, man, it's been a long time in
the... Any idea why it's being delayed?
See, that has to come with the higher horsepower engine. So it's probably the validation of that engine. Also remember that Force Motors is a small company. They are no Mahindra, they are no Tata. Yeah. Their bread and butter are the travelers, the vans which they sell in a whole bunch of wheelbases, all of that. You know, so that is their bread and butter. All the focus is on it. And of course, they've just launched the Urbania. Now, obviously, it's a year and a bit since they launched the Urbania. So, initial product. So, probably they're also dealing with any issues that are there with the Urbania. They also want to export the Urbania. So, focus is on the vans. The Gurkha is a passion project by the team led by Prasan Firodia. So, that obviously takes a backseat to what your shareholders want.
Correct.
So I'm sure that is the only reason that is stopping it. But I know about it, juicy details about it. And it is definitely something to look forward to if they get that 140 horsepower engine because it needs power to pull that thing. And that is a big beast. Yeah. If the Jimny looks like a baby Thar, the Gurkha looks like a daddy Thar.
Yeah.
So it is huge. It's massive. Obviously, it has got that G-Wagon styling.
Yeah.
And if they smoothen out the details a bit, make it a little bit more appealing, juice the G-Wagon heritage that they have, I think that'll be a nice, cool addition.
Even I think the Gurkha, it's incredibly capable. And I think that gives it so much legitimacy.
Yeah.
Because it's
locking
just
differentials.
Yeah. It's just so cool. And a 5-door version, I hope they can make it more livable as well. You know, because that is the big drawback of the Gurkha.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get an automatic gearbox.
I don't need an automatic, but a nicer dashboard, a steering wheel, which doesn't
There. That's all there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's
you want a big screen?
Yeah.
That's there.
I hope it's not Tesla big.
It's okay, man. Yeah. You'll get Hector big. Come on.
Okay, now let's talk Swift. Swift is exciting. There's a whole new generation of Swift coming, but it looks pretty much the same as what it currently is. But there's a new engine.
Okay, so let's address the new engine part. Obviously, it's been done for emissions.
Correct.
And for fuel economy. It's not going to give you much more in terms of power.
Yeah.
And that Musca smooth four-cylinder engine
that Suzuki made,
it's now going to be a three-cylinder. And there is no way of hiding the three-cylinder vibes.
And noise.
And noise.
Yeah.
So that Musca smooth engine, the like a big plus point on the Swift and all the Marutis and Suzukis, that smooth engine.
Yeah.
Three-cylinder. So,
but you never know. I don't know. I'm excited to see what Suzuki will do with the three-cylinder. Because to be fair, the Volkswagen three-cylinder is a fun engine. It may not be Musca smooth.
And the Volkswagen three-cylinder is a turbocharged engine.
That's also there.
So, and I don't think Maruti is putting a turbo on that. Because obviously fuel economy, FDW. But they might put a hybrid on it.
Mild hybrid.
Mild hybrid.
Yeah.
They might.
But that doesn't really do much.
It'll smoothen things out. It will give you ridiculous fuel economy.
Not ridiculous. It gives you marginal improvement.
Well, the Innova with the full hybrid.
With the full hybrid.
Correct.
But this is mild hybrid.
Yeah, so it might, because it'll weigh what?
That's also there.
2 grams. So it'll be... But again, I think the Swift, and I hope the Swift, will be one of the first vehicles that Maruti actually crash tests under the new Bharat NCAP. And it should score well, because... See, the way we've been screaming about safety, and it's not just us, all of our colleagues, our entire community, the way we've been screaming about safety.
Yeah.
Hyundai have been forced to bite the bullet. The Verna is now 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
The upcoming Creta, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, next.
That should be one of the talk points on that. So the Swift, I really, really, really hope that Maruti finally realizes that it's well, it is the responsibility of the government to give us safer roads, but they aren't going to do that. So now it's the responsibility of the manufacturers to give us safer cars,
yeah,
to protect us because our roads are in such bad condition.
And also, if others can do it, I don't see why the market leader can't.
Exactly. Know? The market leader has to be and behave like a market leader. So the Swift, definitely a great car to look forward to. I've got a lot of really cool stories with the Swift. We've lived with so many generations of the Swift. Yeah. I bought a Gen 1 Swift.
Really?
And despite being a journalist, I had to wait, I think, 5 months, which turned out to be a really good thing because in the third month, there was a massive, lots of rain in Pune. And the stockyard was full of water.
Oh, shit.
So thank God my number didn't come up that time. And I got a proper car. That car, actually, before that I had the Zen, then the Swift. And that was the first time that I realized that Maruti is not flawless in terms of quality. It wasn't as well built as the Zen.
Right.
So that's also a sign of where Maruti were tilting towards in terms of making more cost-effective cars. But they also made a really cool-looking car, maybe by intent or by mistake, but they made a really fun car to drive. And that fun DNA of the Swift continued through the years.
Yeah.
And I just hope that that is retained.
Yeah. So if you want a Musk smooth Swift, now's the time. Because very soon, a not-so-Musk smooth Swift
No. With the caveat, we haven't driven it. So we are just assuming, we are just making random statements from the top of our head. So don't come and shoot us. Shoot Atish, not me.
Desire. The Desire will also come based on this.
So I saw some renders on Instagram the other day. And that Desire looked sort of like a CLA with the really swoopy rear end.
Okay,
those are renders. But they looked really cool, man.
Yeah.
They looked really cool.
Do you think Maruti is going to try and differentiate the Swift and Swift Desire a little more?
They will.
Yeah.
They will, because now obviously market tastes are evolving and Maruti's capability of designing fresh products, differentiated products, that is also going up.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there will be even more significant changes.
Desire's gotten this, especially with their tour cars, it's gotten this perception of being a taxi. I don't think they want that to rub off on the Swift anymore. So I hope they do something different for the Desire.
Clearly they will do. Yeah. And this new Desire is obviously not going to go into the taxi market immediately. Yeah. So there'll be a while. You'll have to
continue with the tour. And
exactly. So I think it will be a little bit more differentiated. So a big year for Maruti.
Yeah.
Swift, bread and butter, definitely.
And now we have to talk about the new Creta. In fact, the teaser images of the Creta were just shown to us today, the day that we're recording this. And from the images, we can deduce that it has a new face. Actually, it reminded me a little bit of the Santa Fe. You'll be able to tell me more. That little blocky DRL system.
It does have, but it's also very unique.
Okay.
It is not exactly the Santa Fe. It's not exactly any of the other
SUVs. I like that about
that
Hyundai. I like that.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
It's not that Hyundai facelift that has been selling in China.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah.
Because that's the images that has been all over the place to illustrate talk about the facelifted Creta. So it has been done for India. And that just shows how important India is
to
Hyundai and to the Creta.
Yeah.
After all, this is the Creta market.
100%.
We've been calling this the Creta segment ever since the Creta came in. This is the
big numbers in that segment from everybody.
The Creta sells more than the Venue.
Yeah, and you'd never think.
And the Creta consistently sells more than 10,000 units.
Yeah.
So immensely profitable for Hyundai. Because of Hyundai's success, the Volkswagen Group did the Taigun and the Kushaq. Because
everybody's
of them, everybody, Maruti has come with the Grand Vitara. Everybody is there because Hyundai showed that there is volume to be gained and money to be earned in
margins
that segment.
Margins to be had also in that segment.
Lots, lots of money to be earned there. Yeah. So this is going to be very important.
Yes.
And Hyundai aren't going to muck it up, are they?
No, I don't think so. I think they've been really hitting the nail on the head with all of these SUVs in the last year,
except
year and
the Alcazar, which we aren't huge
but
fans of.
But people buy them.
The diesel Alcazar, excellent. That petrol, not so. Mm. But they put the 1.5 engine into the Alcazar. Yeah. And that is the so-called new engine that is going in the Creta. But we've already experienced it in the Alcazar, in the Kia Seltos.
Yeah.
So it's Verna, there in the Verna, right? So the new engine they're talking about is the 1.5 turbo petrol.
Yes.
They will also have an NA engine. They'll also have the diesel engine. Yes. They will also have 25 different types of gearboxes on it.
10,000 feature list with 20,000 connected features.
Yep. It'll also have a huge screen.
Yes.
Because huge screens they're getting are very important.
I think they're getting what the Alcazar has. So the twin, the digital cluster and the bigger or whatever, that same screen.
Let's see how they resolve it. And make it look like one cohesive unit rather than the two separate units that are clearly visible in the others. Like, for instance, the Ioniq 5 that you drive.
Yes.
That also has
it might be
slab,
that.
But it's got two separate screens, clearly.
Mercedes
Whereas
style.
The XUV 700, even though it has two separate screens, the way it's done, it looks kind of like one integrated unit. So the let's see how they resolve it.
Yeah.
It'll but have
safety. Safety, that's what we're getting to. Yeah. Safety is going to be really important. ADAS will be there.
Will be there.
Similar to what the Verna gets, I guess.
And what the Seltos get.
Yes.
But we hope.
We're thinking on the same wavelength here today. But 5-star crash rating. The Verna did get a GNCAP 5-star, which I think is really, really commendable. And commendable to Hyundai for biting that bullet and engineering 5-stars into it. The Creta will probably be BNCAP tested.
It will have to be BNCAP because now NCAP is not going to do the GNCAP protocol for Indian cars. Also, it's good for manufacturers. You don't have to put your brand new car on a plane to Germany to get smashed over there and bring it back.
The Hyundai guys were telling us about the cost.
Yeah, it's a huge signal.
I think it's
saving.
Like a 5x difference between BNCAP and GNCAP.
Significant cost saving. Though, honestly, for a manufacturer, 75 lakhs to crash test a car in the greater scheme of things is penny change.
Yeah, because the marketing that allows.
It costs nothing. Yeah. So the reason why they're not doing it is not because of that 75 lakhs to send a car to Germany to get it crash tested. They're not doing it because they all have their own crash test labs. They all have computer simulations. They all know that it's not going to score very well.
Yeah.
Right? So that is the bottom line.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
But the Creta is, at the end of the day, a facelift. So will they invest enough?
Well, the Verna also is a facelift, right?
Yeah.
So, and the Verna is now 5-star crash rated. So it's all about not completely re-engineering the structure, but adding the right steels in the right place, upgrading the quality levels. You know, it's maybe small incremental overall changes, which costs money, no doubt. But come on, man. Don't Indians deserve
absolutely
safe cars?
And I think Hyundai will do it because they can't go backwards from after 5-starring the Verna.
So true, yeah. And how much worse can the Creta go? So
okay, now keeping with SUVs, move a segment up. New Tiguan and Kodiaq. They've already been unveiled internationally.
Yep. We saw know it at the Munich Motor Show also. Yes. In a little bit of camouflage.
Correct. I saw the...
Yeah, at the Volkswagen lounge, we did see it there at the Munich show.
But
we've seen pictures now of it.
They've been unveiled fully.
Of course.
You know, so we've got pictures. We know what's coming. The Tiguan gets an all-new design language. The Kodiaq is less of a massive change. But both look very good.
Mm.
Both will be on that lovely platform, the MQB platform.
Yes.
And both should come with TSI engines because Volkswagen has given up on diesels in India. The question is, will they come in 2024 or will they be pushed to 2025?
I think they will have to come this year because, like we said, there is no significant development on the Tiguan or the Kushaq or the Slavia or the Virtus. Yeah. So the mass market vehicles are that.
Yeah.
Okay. So there has to be action somewhere.
They have to keep
excitement
alive. Yeah.
They have to keep interest alive in the brand, and nothing keeps interest going like new vehicles.
Correct.
You know, facelifts can only do that much. New stickers can only do that much.
Mm-hmm.
So these will have to come in. It'll take a bit of time because the Tiguan.
Yeah.
Very confusing, man.
Tiguan.
So Tiguan. Okay, Tiguan, the big one. That is CKD in India.
Yes.
It's not CBU. The Tiguan Allspace was a CBU, but that was so expensive that it didn't sell as well.
And then they Tiguan, CKD'd them.
Yeah. So the Tiguan is CKD, so it'll take time to get the CKD line going at Aurangabad.
So what are we looking at? End of the year?
I would think so, around Diwali.
Yeah.
That would be a more sensible timeline for it.
Mm-hmm.
the Tiguan right now is actually great value, because there are great deals available for the Tiguan. So if you're in the market for it, I would wholeheartedly recommend it.
And it's a lovely car.
It's a lovely car. We use it as a daily driver. Okay, in the city, not so great on economy. But on the highway, good in terms of economy. It's got solid amount of power from that engine. It's great at off-roading. That's something that we discovered late last year when we did the Tiguan experiential activity and did all that off-roading with it. Yeah. And I was surprised by what all it could do.
Yeah, me too. I didn't expect it, but three wheels, this, that, inclines,
it can do
declines,
all
whatever.
Of that drama. Yeah. And the same cars, our long-term car, did Mumbai, then it did Bangalore, and then it did, I think, Chennai or Delhi, and now it's on the way back to us.
Yes.
And it's done all that off-roading in the hands of absolute novices, and it's coming back to us. Mm-hmm. No squeak, no rattle, no nothing.
The Nissan X-Trail is coming.
The question is what the spec will be on the X-Trail. The question is, will it have a full hybrid or a mild hybrid?
Mm-hmm.
So, will it have all-wheel drive or only front-wheel drive? So, a lot
and
of questions.
And the price.
And the price, yes.
Where will they position it?
So, around the Tiguan has also gone up in price, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think it'll be more expensive than the Tiguan.
It can't be more expensive. It should not be more expensive than the Tiguan. And generally speaking, the German SUVs have always been more expensive.
But
than
this will be a CBU or a CKD?
I think it'll be CKD.
Yeah.
I think.
I hope.
Because Nissan has been talking for the longest time about the X-Trail. Now, just to bring CBU, come on. Itna time lag,
and then the price will be up again.
Yeah, so I think they're going to CKD it. And again, Nissan also needs new products.
Yeah.
The Magnite, you know, how much ever you do, last year they put a CVT gearbox on the 1 liter NA engine, and that was the only action on the
red paint scheme.
It's true. So they need more things on it, right? They need more action on it. I think the X-Trail will come around June. Like I said, question is what spec. It needs to have like a full hybrid, because that's the Japanese talking point, right?
Correct.
It needs to have a full hybrid, it needs to have all wheel drive, it needs to have all the bells and whistles. You can't scrimp on equipment and then expect it to sell, because today if you look at buying patterns also, people, especially as you go higher and higher up in the segment, they want everything.
Yeah,
they want the bells and whistles. So
but the X-Trail has always also been known for its capability. And I hope
when the X-Trail, my memory of it, when the X-Trail was first launched in India, it was more than a size smaller than the Endeavor. Actually, two sizes smaller than the Endeavor. It was a small little thing, mid-size SUV size.
Correct.
And today, it has really grown.
Yeah.
But my memory of the X-Trail is a Creta-sized luxury off-roader. Yeah. Yeah. And it could do serious off-roading.
Exactly.
We took it, I remember with the Endeavor, Fortuner, Pajero, and this X-Trail, we took it off-roading to Chikmagalur. The Endeavor got stuck. But this little X-Trail went through everything.
Yeah.
No effort, nothing. Perfect. And of course, the Fortuner though is a Fortuner, man.
Nothing.
Even the Pajero, they just keep chugging away, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Now we talk about a little bit of luxury, the new Carnival. I think this will be really interesting, because I remember when the Carnival first launched in India, Kia said they want to attack the Innova. And they couldn't, because the Innova was, well, a segment down, you know. And
the Innova cannot be attacked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got like this force field around it. That nobody can come close.
But that time it was the Crysta. And now
Crysta, Innova, that Innova name means force field around it.
No, but I think now it's going to be trickier, because the Hycross has gone up in price. You know, it's closer to Carnival in terms of price. So somebody looking at, say, a Hycross backseat car may be swayed by something like a Carnival.
You know, you're right. Last week we had our society meeting. My neighbor met me and said, "Arey boss, wo Carnival aa raha hai kya?" So I said, "Yeah, it's coming, but look at the Hycross now." "Arey nahi boss, Carnival, arey Carnival, Carnival. My partner has the current Carnival, but I want the new Carnival. And Carnival boss, kya space hai boss? And if you put seven people in it, plus you can put luggage, which you can't in a Hycross or in the Crysta before that." So people in that segment who are looking at it, he's obviously into real estate and his other partner's got a Velfire. Now, Velfire, 1.5 crores and all that. No, they say, oh, boss, kya gaadi hai yaar. But price Velfire is like crazy.
Yeah.
So, the Carnival, there are solid 100%. Amount of people who are looking for it.
And it
so,
has its pros because it's wide, you know, where the Innova Hycross is not as wide as the Carnival. So, that sense of space that you get from sitting far away from somebody next to you.
True.
That the Hycross doesn't do as well.
It's got those slidey doors also. Right?
Exactly, the electric doors. And there are a lot of new tricks that will come on this new Carnival. Mm. So I think it has potential.
I'm sure it will have potential. See, the Carnival earlier, or the current Carnival that we have in India, has established a base now for Kia to build on with the newer one.
Yes.
So it has done its job. It initially struggled because of the price and that whole perception of versus Crysta and all of that. But now that the Hycross is a monocoque, one of the perception barriers is gone.
Yeah.
And the Hycross is also front wheel drive.
Correct.
It's not rear wheel drive. So those perception barriers that were there, that were created by the Crysta, have gone.
Exactly.
So people will be more agreeable to it. And like you said, pricing of the Hycross has also gone up. Obviously, this new Carnival is not going to be the same price as the earlier Carnival. But there is space out there. And for somebody who is being chauffeur driven,
there's nothing like it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, right?
Absolutely.
Obviously, again, caveat, we are all basing our driving experiences based on the earlier Carnival.
And assuming it will get +2, +3 better.
So, caveats, let's drive it first.
New Ciaz is coming. Are you excited?
So, we don't know anything about the new Ciaz.
Correct.
Apart from the fact that it's going to come.
Because and there'll be a Toyota version, probably.
Yeah, what is it?
Belta.
So, honestly, we have zero idea of what the... I guess the only thing that we know is that it's going to be, have the HardTech platform. Because HardTech is all the tech that they have.
Will it get the three-cylinder from the Swift?
Arre yaar. No, they have a 1.5 petrol. So, they'll have the 1.5 petrol. Don't throw such googlies, man. No. And it'll have the 6-speed automatic gearbox.
Correct.
Now, don't ask if it'll have 4-wheel drive.
No, but the new Ciaz will come. And it's going to be an exciting time because the Verna is new. Completely new, very exciting car. The Virtus and Slavia exist in that space. And I think the Ciaz will go and undercut all of them in terms of price, in terms of value.
Don't forget the City.
The City. City is also expensive though. It's on par with the...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, I think the Ciaz will come in. Right now, it's already aggressively priced. And I think it will...
But right now, it's also very old.
Correct. 100%.
It's really, really long in the tooth. And it's been due for an update for very, very long.
But I think it's in Maruti's interest to keep with that positioning. Which is...
True.
Which is half a step. Not even half a step, but a little bit under all of this... This crowded bunch of sedans that exist
and
today.
And end of the day, what is the Ciaz? The Ciaz is a booted Baleno.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's not that hard to make, to craft a booted Baleno. So, I don't know why we've been waiting so long for a new Ciaz.
Yeah, that's true. There's also another Toyota based on Maruti that will come, and that's on the Fronx apparently.
Okay. So, what's it called?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the name. I don't think I want to know the name also.
So anyway, there is also that Rumicon.
Rumion.
I haven't seen any on the road, have you? You should find out whether it's selling or not.
Or we're probably seeing them and thinking they're Marutis and not...
That's also true because nobody gives an Ertiga a second glance, right? So probably has a Toyota badge on it. Actually, now we'll all start looking at Ertigas a little more closely to see what badge it has on the back.
Absolutely. And now coming back to Skoda Volkswagen, Skoda actually, will the new Superb come?
Yes.
Not, but the Octavia won't come.
So, they've been saying that the Octavia is not going to come. But again, it's the same problem that they have. You know, that their mass market cars aren't going to be completely refreshed and all of that. And the rumored sub 4-meter Skoda is still at least a year away. If not a year and a half away. So, what do they do right now?
So, they have to bring the Superb.
They have to bring the Superb. The Superb has a market also.
Yeah.
However small, but there is a market. And last time round, what pricing they did for the Superb actually was
good
value.
It was really good.
And obviously, it made money
and
also.
And after you got the discounts and everything, you were getting it at damn good.
So, the Superb was good. Octavia, you know, the price was so close to the Superb the top spec Octavia and the base spec Superb, which didn't lose much compared
people
to the Octavia.
People just jumped from Octavia to Superb.
And the other problem with the Octavia was it had no sunroof.
Mm.
Yeah, so in terms of the spec that Indian buyers want.
But right? I don't think the sunroof was as much of a deal breaker as the price, because the Octavia has always been looked at as attainable.
True.
An attainable luxury car.
True, true.
And they got the Slavia in at that 20 lakh price. They got the Superb in at that 30 whatever.
Mm.
And then the Octavia at its price really didn't have that same value that true. The older Octavias didn't.
We did a story when the Octavia was launched. We compared it with the Tucson and we said, hey, finally, it's the end of this SUV onslaught.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the prices came and we're like,
SUVs.
I love driving Octavias. Yeah. They're really great cars. But then when you look at the price and compare it with the Tucson, you have to be a fanatical sedan guy to justify that.
To be fair, it was a really nice car. It was great to drive.
There was no question. All the right boxes. No question about it.
But then the price.
Exactly, the price. Hmm. So I think that's what will be the barrier in bringing the Octavia. But, will they bite the bullet and bring the RS?
You know, I hope so, because India has time and time again demonstrated that there is an appetite for it.
Mm.
You know, they brought the 230, we lapped it up. Mm. They brought the 245, we lapped it up.
No, we didn't lap the 245.
No?
No, because they, in that initial euphoria, and that was just around the COVID time and all that, they put out a thing saying that it's all sold out and this, that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm basing the statement on.
Yeah, but it did not. They struggled to sell the last lot of cars. Yeah, okay. Man, they struggled to sell the last lot of cars because people A thought that it's all sold out because they themselves said more or less things to that tune. And then the price was ridiculous.
Was, yeah.
Because see, the 230 was assembled in India and that was great value. The Octavia RS, the beauty of it was always the performance to price ratio. But with the 245, that went out of whack.
Yeah.
So now, if they bring the Octavia RS...
And it's now hybridized.
And a 1.4 engine.
Yeah.
A smaller engine. Okay. But plug-in hybrid.
Hmm.
Okay. But that will not be assembled here.
Hmm.
That will be a CBU.
But there is also talk of the government incentivizing hybrids soon.
But I don't think that'll be for CBU hybrids.
Hmm.
You know... This is why is this happening? Because Toyota and Maruti are pushing it.
Yes.
Do Toyota and Maruti bring full
CBUs?
Okay, Lexus does and Toyota, the top end, the Velfire, they do. But they are not interested in that. You know, they are interested in your high crosses and all of that, right? So the government is never going to incentivize CBU hybrids.
Hmm.
So the Octavia RS as a CBU is going to be priced out of whack. 50 lakhs?
No chance of CKD.
Yeah. Yeah, will you buy one at 50 lakhs?
No chance. But will they? Is there any chance of a CKD?
I don't think so, no. The volumes don't justify it.
Hmm.
And the fact that it is a hybrid, first of all, raises the price.
Yeah.
Compared to what a regular combustion engine would. You know, so that itself is a first hammer.
Hmm.
And then the second is doing, CBU. So, price... I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's always a chance
we all hope
that
you're
we'll
wrong.
Be wrong.
And Skoda, if you're listening, please bring it in.
We prove Suresh wrong.
Prove Suresh wrong. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's on the Octavia RS. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I think this episode has stretched on for long enough. Let's wrap this up here. I've got a very long list over here. If you're watching on video, you'll be able to see. We've covered this much. So next week, I think we'll come back to the studio and... We've not spoken about luxury cars and electric cars yet.
Mm.
So next week, when we get back to the studio, we will address luxury cars and electric cars coming to India in 2024. So thank you for listening to the Thrill of Driving podcast this week, the first one of 2024. Let us know in the comments down below.
If the electric Polo is coming.
Forget the electric Polo. But let us know in the comments what you're most excited about. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, do rate the podcast on there. That's really helpful. And that's it for us.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for watching, guys, and listening.